thought that they could get involved in secret temptation. Young person, older person, there is no such thing as secret temptation, because God is going to make sure the secret is found out.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, if you have your Bibles, please turn with us and listen. Here's Pastor Grant.
John was trying to lose weight, but one morning he arrived at work with 2 dozen donuts. You know, his co-workers were puzzled. They said to him, "John, if you're trying to lose weight, why did you buy donuts?" John says, "Well, really what happened, you know, as I approached the corner where the donut shop is," he said, "I started praying and I said, 'God, if you don't want me to buy donuts, please make sure that there's no empty parking spot in front of the donut shop.'" And he said, God answered yes. He said, "Because after I had gone around the block 9 times, there it was, an empty parking spot right in front of the donut shop." You know, there's some temptations that we have to go looking for, but sometimes temptation comes looking for you. That's what happened to Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. And that's what we want to talk about this morning as I bring a message to you entitled, "Lead Us Not Into Temptation." You know, after Joseph was sold by his brothers, you remember the story, those of us who were here last week, you remember that Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and then he was taken, and he ended up in Egypt, and he ended up becoming a servant, a slave of a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar was a big shot. He was a high official for the Pharaoh of that time, the king as the Bible puts it, he was a rich man with a whole lot of property, and he was so glad to get hold of a slave who was a hard worker and he had a good attitude. He was glad he found Joseph. But the Bible tells us that Joseph, God blessed Joseph, and he caused that everything he put his hand to prospered. And so Potiphar started experiencing all sorts of blessing like he had never seen before. He started experiencing all this blessing because this guy called Joseph, this Hebrew slave, was living in his home. And so he gave Joseph a big promotion. Joseph was now put in charge of everything that Potiphar owned. The house, all his properties. Joseph was really moving on up. In fact, if things kept going like this, it's possible that somewhere you can just imagine Joseph was starting to get hopeful, because if things kept going like this, someday he might even be granted his freedom. Wow, he was really moving on up. But Joseph didn't realize that his dream was about to be hijacked again. Last week, his dreams were hijacked by his brothers. And Joseph's dream was about to be hijacked again in Genesis 39. Turn with me to verse 6 and 7, just to refresh our minds. Genesis 39, verse 6. Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass of these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Joseph was a hunk. Joseph was all that. He was amazingly handsome, and he had an incredible body like Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Potiphar's wife liked what she saw. He was easy on the eyes. I can just imagine every time she saw Joseph. Hi. She had all these sexy looks and she was flirting big time with him. But despite all her flirtatious looks at Joseph, Joseph was not attracted at all. So she finally cut to the chase and just went straight to it. She said, listen, come to bed with me. But Joseph refused. But Mrs. Potiphar would not give up. Verse 10 tells us that after Joseph refused to go to bed with her, she wouldn't give up. She was persistent. The Bible says every single day, boy, every single day she was begging Joseph to come to bed with her. And every single day Joseph was giving her the same answer, no. Joseph had certainly grown. This was no longer the proud, self-centered teenager we met last week in Genesis chapter 37. In just a few years, Joseph had developed into a committed follower of God. Although God had allowed Joseph's dreams to be hijacked by his brothers, Joseph had not grown bitter. In fact, Joseph had grown closer to God. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, because sometimes when God allows our dreams to get hijacked, if we're not careful, we get bitter. Some people don't even go to church anymore because they're upset that God allowed certain things to happen in their lives. Listen, I don't think most of us have been taken, into slavery in our generation. Most of us have not had the experience Joseph had. This rich kid suddenly becomes a slave. That must have been earth-shattering. But here Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house, and he is not bitter. Joseph has now been invited to party with the rich man's wife. But Joseph keeps committed to God. May God help us to be that committed to him. Amen? Amen. Well, one day while Joseph is working in Potiphar's house, Mrs. Potiphar realized something. She realized that everyone else was outside. I can use my sanctified imagination. She must have gone around the house and made sure she locked every single door. She's going to make sure nobody can come in. Am I right? She's going to lock all them doors. No, the Bible doesn't say what she put on, but something tells me she put on something really seductive. And she probably had on all the Chanel No. 5 perfume and all the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Hi. Well, this time she wasn't going to just say hi. She grabbed a hold of him. Come lie with me. Man, oh man, oh man, what a situation. Joseph is away from his home. Joseph is lonely. Oh my. What a setup. What a story God has presented to us this morning about what it means to walk with Jesus, what it means to stand firm for God and to resist temptation, because Joseph, humanly speaking, this was a tough thing. But Joseph ran. Run, Joseph, run. Run, Joseph, run. And somebody here this morning needs to learn, young man, young woman, listen, when you're being tempted at school, when they're trying to encourage you to take sex pictures, when they're trying to get you to do all that stuff, you need to do like Joseph, and you need to learn to... If there is anything that's not like you, take it away from me. Poor Joseph, he ended up in prison because he followed God. Somebody would say, listen, that's a raw deal. Joseph lost. His faith in God did not pay off. His faith in God put him in jail. What sort of God is this? But I want you to realize, listen good, Joseph had to go to jail. Listen, you have no idea what God is up to when you stand for him and things seem to work out the wrong way. You don't realize it, but God is up to something, because if Joseph didn't go to jail, he wouldn't be in jail when Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted. Joseph would not have become prime minister if he was not in jail. By God's divine providence, God allowed him his dream to be hijacked one more time so he could go to jail. It pays and it pays and it pays to serve Jesus. And I hope somebody is listening to the word of God today, because listen, you can never go wrong when you serve and obey God. You may have a short-term setback. Oh, but this setback was just a setup for a comeback. Am I right about it? This setback was just a setup for a comeback. And my friend, there may be somebody here this morning who God has given a setback. And I just want you to know God's setbacks, if we're living right, if we're honoring him, his setbacks are just setups for comebacks. But listen, I want to share with you this morning three things about temptation. The first thing I want to talk with you this morning, the big myth about secret temptation. If you were offered an opportunity to sin secretly, where no one would find out about it, would you indulge in the sin? You may tell me no. But the truth is, this is where many Christians fall.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. Looking for a great way to bring in the new year? Then plan to join us for a special New Year's Eve service planned by our young adults. Make sure to be a part of this great worship experience, which concludes with a dramatic countdown to the new year. Afterwards, there's food and games and special stations for that special New Year's picture. So save the date this Tuesday, December 31st at 10:30 p.m. at Germantown Christian Assembly. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The point where the Christian church is in trouble today is in this area of secret temptation. Satan is fooling us to believe that certain things are secret, and when he gets us believing that I can do this sin and it will remain secret, he's got us. That's why internet porn is so high. I read somewhere that 50% of all traffic on the internet is porn related. Pornography among Christians is at a crisis level. Research done by Barna Group and Covenant Eyes indicate, listen to me, that 68% of church going men view pornography on a regular basis. 76% of Christian adults between the years of ages of 18 and 24 search for pornography regularly. 76%. 33% of those are women. Oh, you think it was the men only? The devil wants us to believe that pornography is not hurting anyone. He wants us to believe it is secret and that it doesn't hurt anyone. And so I hope you're listening to me, because I am sure that seated in these pews today are individuals who are struggling with pornography. And God has a message for you this morning. He's saying that if there is stuff that's not like him, you need to take it away. God wants to help you to take it away, but you have to have that desire. And so, my friend, don't let the devil fool you into believing pornography is not hurting anyone. They tell us that Infidelity in marriage has gone up 300% because of pornography. It is traced a 300% increase in marital infidelity because of pornography. They tell us 57% of all divorces are a result of one or both parties being involved in pornography. Young person, listen to me good. Your friends might tell you it's cute, but don't get started, because pornography is one of the hardest things to stop. And I'm going to encourage you, because right now we're helping individuals who have problems with pornography, and none of you have a clue that we are, so therefore you should realize that we will keep your business confidential. I'm going to encourage you, if you're having a problem, come to one of the elders and let us know you need help. We're not going to be broadcasting it. You say, but you discipline folks. We will not discipline anyone who comes to us and said, I have a problem, help me to deal with it. Don't stay where you are. It's going to get so deep-rooted that you're going to have big problems. You say, Pastor, my problem is not pornography, so I'm glad you're not talking to me. So what is it? What is that secret? What is the secret temptation you have? I'm only talking about sexual temptation because that's what's in our text today. But you see, temptation comes in all forms and sizes. Am I not right about that? What is your temptation? What is your deal that you're hoping to keep secret? Well, whatever it is, God is talking to you this morning about that thing that you are hanging on to, that secret temptation. Well, here's the big myth about secret temptation. What is the big myth? Put this down. The big myth: believing that secret temptation will remain secret. The biggest myth is to believe that secret temptation will remain secret. You know, Joseph was faced with secret temptation. He's away from home. Daddy won't know. And I don't even think Potiphar would know, because I'm not sure Potiphar's wife was going to talk. So as far as Joseph was concerned, what a wonderful time I could have with Mrs. Potiphar. I have needs. I hear people, you ever heard that? I got needs. God understands. God understands if I sin, because I got needs. You see, Joseph realized, write this down, Joseph knew that if he yielded to secret temptation, the most important person in his life would know. God would know. Is God the most important person in your life? Listen, God wants us to realize that if we get involved in secret temptation, he knows. But here's something else. And God has not promised to keep it secret. In fact, can I be frank with you? You want to hear the truth? God said he's going to talk. You said the Bible really says that? Sort of. Numbers 32:23 says this. Be sure your sin will find you out. Somehow, God is going to allow the devil is telling you, nobody will ever find out. Somehow, God works it out and allows people to find out. And this is one of the reasons where so many marriages are in trouble. I can tell you cases right now, but I won't tell you. Marriage in trouble because somebody thought that they could get involved in secret temptation. Young person, older person, there is no such thing as secret temptation, because God is going to make sure the secret is found out. So this morning, God is urging us and he's encouraging us. Listen, recognize there is no such thing, and therefore don't fool with temptation because you think it's going to be secret. Don't allow your life to be destroyed. Don't allow your family to be destroyed. Sir, don't allow your family to be destroyed. But that's one big myth. Can I tell you another big myth? Secondly, there's a big myth about yielding to temptation. I've actually heard Christians say, in fact, let's be honest now, the preacher better, you better know the preacher struggles with temptation too. I remember a time in my life when somebody said to me, Ryan, you don't have to worry because you can always sin and then ask God for forgiveness. You ever heard that one? God understands. This is what they told me. God knows you're just human. So go ahead and sin, and you can go and ask for forgiveness. You see, there is this myth. Put it down. Here's the big myth. That if we willfully sin and then ask for God's forgiveness, that immediately cleans the slate. It is a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You know, it's true that 1 John 1:9, and that's a precious verse. I love 1 John 1:9, don't you? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so glad that if we confess, no matter what, he will forgive. The problem is, he doesn't tell us a thing about the consequences. You see, because forgiven sin can still have some big consequences. Oh, you all know this story. Most of us know this story in 2 Samuel about David. So let's turn there just for a quick second. Hold your put up marker in Genesis because we're coming back there. But 2 Samuel chapter 12 is where I want to take you to just for a moment. David, you remember the story. David had seen Bathsheba taking her bath, and the lust came, the sexual temptation came to him. And if he had a phone, he probably could have asked her to sext him or whatever the thing is called. Is that the term? But he couldn't. So he had her brought over, and then of course he had sex with her. She got pregnant. He had her husband killed, and went on with business as usual. Oh, you didn't know that? He went on with business as usual. So you can imagine what happens in 2 Samuel 12. He's confronted by the prophet. He's confronted by Nathan the prophet. And Nathan tells him a story about, and you know, he gets riled up because he didn't even realize it was about himself. And after he was riled up, Nathan said, "You are the man." 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 13, so David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord has put away your sin." Somebody say amen. Amen. He confessed, and the Lord did what? Forgave him. Confess, and God will forgive. But the slate wasn't clean. Because here he goes on. However, oh, my brother and sister, listen, there is a big however. You can confess all you want, but there is a big however, and you do not choose the consequence. God chooses. You can choose the sin. I can choose the sin, but God is the one who chooses the consequence. And so here's what Nathan says, because this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also is born to you shall surely die. But that wasn't the end. Go to verse 10. Now therefore, Nathan said, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before you and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. I am going to shame you. And then you read on, and you'll find it as you go into, you'll find that there was a time that one of his sons came, rebelled against him, and the King David, he had to leave Jerusalem.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.